Due to technical difficulties, we are not able to record the beginning of Chris Keene's Tuesday night service. What you will hear will be the last half of that service.
Amen. Romans chapter 12. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. I just talked about the mercies. Amen. How often are those mercies available? Every day, day by day. Amen. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye metamorphed. I knew you guys would like that science term. Come on, get the science. Come on. I know you're right in the middle of summer. Amen. You just can't wait for summer to get over so you can get back to school. Amen. Get up about 6 o'clock in the morning. Hey, praise God. Sounding good, isn't it? Amen. Throw that Pop-Tart in there. Kaboom. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Be transformed. Be metamorphed. That's what the Greek word is, metamorph. Be transformed. Be changed. How? How? By the renewing of your mind. Do you want to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? Everybody's going, yeah, I do. Then let Him renew your thinking.
That's right.
Let Him create a clean heart.
Amen.
And renew a right spirit in you. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. By the renewing of your mind, how are we going to prove that the things that God said are truth? Unto ones, it is attention today in our modern world, in our postmodern society. And they say, how can God be true? Unto ones, you know what? They need their attitude.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I had a colleague in the science field. And he came to me personally one day and he said, I just can't believe the Bible. Just can't believe it. Just can't believe. I can't believe that God inspired men and women. Amen. And they penned down for us to hear and for us to live by. I do believe that it was written. We have evidence, but I just don't believe that it's God divine. So I asked him, I said, would you like to believe? See, that changed everything. Do you think you would like to believe? See, that changed his attitude. And finally he said, well, I think maybe I would like to believe it. I said, I got a way that I can share with you by which you can believe.
Amen.
He said, you do? Yeah. He said, what is it? Read it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Hallelujah. And my oldest sister, I don't have a sister. Amen. Amen. My oldest daughter, Michelle. Hallelujah. When she was at Arizona High School, I was given a research paper how to write, and the whole class was given their choice of the topic. And a friend beside her, professing atheism, said, I'm going to write my paper on disproving God and the authenticity of the Word. This is a teenager. Jeff, you know Michelle. She said, she looked at him, she said, I want to read that paper. Go right ahead. Get a Bible. And start doing that research. She knew that if he started reading the Bible, that there would be some faith that would begin to be built in his life. A couple weeks later, she asked him, how's your research paper coming? I changed my thesis. That Bible started getting to me. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Hallelujah. And I've never understood that verse about the beautiful feet of them that preach the gospel. Because my feet are really pretty. Amen. if you were looking at them physically. But praise God for the steps and the walk in life that God's people follow. Isn't that it? Thank you, Lord. How about it? How's your attitude tonight? How do you need a renewing in your thinking? Huh? So there's the fourth element. Renew by waiting on the Lord. Renew by listening, right? Renew by turning to Him. And I recommend the daily basis. Amen? And renew by thinking through the Word of God.
Amen?
Amen. I don't know why, but I just want to share with you for some reason today. I've been thinking about the rich man and Lazarus. And I want you to know, dear ones, that the Bible says that Lazarus died. And the rich man died. Lazarus was carried to the portals of glory in the bosom of Abraham. And the rich man that died was in hell. See, you're not going to preach about hell, are you? Should I? Should we talk about it? Should we consider the reality of hell? The Bible says, and these are the words of Jesus, where the fire, their fire is not quenched, and their worm dieth not. In my postgraduate work, I had a class, and the class was entitled The Four Views of Hell. But I want you to know, I read one view. And according to the Holy Word of God, it's a real existence. It's a place that wasn't created or developed in any way for us. But I want you to know that the Bible says that hell hath enlarged their borders. And you know why? Because of unbelief. Because people won't renew. And it's a serious thing, dear ones, to fall into the hands of a living God. Lost and undone without Him. I want you to know, dear ones, but there's a remedy. You don't have to go to hell. Jesus Christ, when He gave His life on Calvary's cross, defeated death, hell, and the grave. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. I don't know, but I thought about that today. I thought about the reality of hell. I thought about, as we're here tonight, I thought about how many, even in the moments that we're here, in this time of enjoyment, of singing and testimonies and prayer and preaching, how many are going out into eternity unprepared to meet the Lord. It's a serious thing, dear ones. But I want you to know there's a remedy. I'm glad that Jesus Christ paid it all. I want you to know the reason why that I guess that us preachers would bring these things up is, first of all, it's the Word of God. And we're commissioned, dear ones, to share it. I'm not happy to do so, but I want you to know something. I have been called by God Himself and this brother and other brothers and all of us really to let folk know that yes, there's a reality of the beauties of heaven, but there's also the realities of the destruction of hell. Amen. Listen to this. The rich man that died and was in hell, he said that he was tormented in the flames. The Bible says, and let me tell you, one of the views out of the study that I had to do in the research paper basically said that's just figurative. There's not really flames there. I believe that there's flames there. He said, I'm tormented in this flame. He looked across the great gulf that was fixed, and he could see Lazarus, couldn't he? Resting, comforted. The Bible says that he cried out for just a bit of comfort.
just even the minuscule thought of someone dipping their finger in water and placing it to his tongue will be comfort. That's hard for you and I to realize. 3 years ago, I was on the equator in Uganda. And let me tell you something, it was hot. And there's a place where you can stand. Amen. When you cross out of Entebbe through Kampala into my district, where there's a monument there that says the equator, I got my picture made on that monument. Boy, you think I'm sweating tonight. I was sweating. It was hot. Direct sun. But I want you to know there's an existence. And I thought about that. I thought about how precious a drink of water was. You want to be very careful when you drink water over there. Even brushing your teeth. You see? The Lord's really blessed us, hasn't He? I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. I just want you to know that when I come back, there were churches that asked me to come and talk about the experience. I'll confess to you, I was never so glad to see Detroit in all my life. I never thought I'd say that, but I'm glad to see Detroit. But I was glad to be back in the United States of America. Amen. And churches asked me to come and give my testimony of how we went over to help them. And I said to those pastors, I said, I want you to know that when I come and give my testimony, it's going to be how they help me. It's going to be how they help me. Amen. It renewed my thinking. Their worldview of Jesus Christ was so much more than mine. It's amazing. Amen. It's awesome. Thank you, Lord. They loved Him. You know what that did? It helped renew my thinking. It helped renew my mind. They don't think about what they don't have. They think about what they do have. And how thankful they are for what they have. And what they can do with what they have. We spend all of our waking moments thinking about what we don't have and how we're going to get it. Ouch! Oh! That helped renew my thinking. Amen. But I believe I'm looking at some folk that have lived through the Depression. And some folk that have probably been overseas, that have been on either mission trips or maybe in the military. And as I related that story to you, you knew what I was talking about. Mommy. I'm glad to be a citizen of the United States of America. We just celebrated Independence Day. But I want you to know something. I'm more glad to be a citizen of the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ. I'm glad, praise God, that my citizenship was paid for many years ago when Jesus gave His life on the cross. Amen. Some of us have had the opportunity in the last couple of weeks with the power being off to help our attitudes to be renewed a little bit. I just want to share with you quickly, then I'm going to go to Titus chapter 3. You're going, man, didn't think he'd ever get there. But you know, when our electric power was off, Susan, my wife, made this comment that she observed after the power came back on. And there may be some of you sitting there going, you mean you got your power on? She said, you know, I noticed that when the power was off, in the late of the evening, up cool, she said, I noticed people come out on the porches and begin, they were sitting on the porches and they were saying hey to each other and so on and so forth, and they were taking water to each other and they were helping each other, and as soon as the power came on, house they went, boom, closed the door. It's the truth. Amen. Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, didn't He? Quoted to you. The great Shema, Deuteronomy chapter 6. Hear, O Israel, our God is one God. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, part of your mind, All of your mind, soul, and strength. And Jesus affirmed that by saying, and if you feel like it, your neighbor is yourself. No. He said, and your neighbor is yourself. He said, the second is likened to the first. And your neighbor as yourself. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So our attitudes, I could go on and on and on. Amen. I want you to know something. I'm proud of these Christian teens. I'm proud of the Christian youth because I want you to know something. Praise God. They are challenged in their thinking. They are challenged with a worldview that is godless. But I see in them a worldview of Jesus Christ. I see in them the strength. Sorry, I'm from Scotland. Sometimes I roll my R's. I'm not actually, but my Azures. Speaking of Scotland, I love preaching out here. Amen. I believe I could preach all night, but don't go. Just hang in there. Amen. Thank you. I'm talking about our young people. And there's a line in the movie of William Wallace. I'm not preaching out of the movie, but I think about it. The Bible says, remember now. When? Remember now. When? Let me try it one more time. Remember now. When? It's getting better. Remember now. When? Remember now. Thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And there's a line that says this. You go back and tell your king he can have our sons and daughters no more. I want you to know something. I am tired of this secular humanism taking our young people down a path that's far away from home. I want our children to have equal opportunity to hear that Jesus loves them. Amen. In a safe environment where they have the opportunity to choose Him as their personal Savior. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
You say, well, we do. We have it in church and so on and so forth. Listen. Adjust your thinking. Renew your mind. Amen. If the church of the living God doesn't rise up to be the church, I want you to know something. Our young people deserve to hear the preaching of the gospel. They deserve to be loved by the church. Isn't that right?
Amen.
Amen. They don't deserve to be booted out by the church. They deserve to be loved by the church. You say, well, they're not getting everything just right. Neither did I. I almost got run over by a bus. You say, did your mom and dad find out about you? You remember mom and dad. You remember my dad, don't you?
Yes, I sure do. He's a fine
dad. Let me tell you, I miss him so much already that I know he's in glory. Amen.
One of the finest.
Let me tell you something. When he found out I tried to swim across the river and almost got hit by a barge, I felt like I got hit by a barge. Amen. Amen. Oh, he loved me. My dad loved me. But I see teens and young people that are just yearning for a dad to love them. Whew, man, I tell you. So, renewal of our thinking. We've talked quite a bit about it. There's much to be considered and to talk about. But I want you to know something. It's still the right thing to believe in the Word of God. In the Bible. Amen. Lastly, in Titus chapter 3, he says, all this is done because you're allowing yourself to be renewed in the Holy Ghost. Isn't that right?
Amen.
You're allowing the renewing of the Holy Ghost. I said last night, I'd like to say again, I'm a Holy Ghost preacher. Amen. I'm a Jesus Now preacher. You say, well, what do you mean by that? I enjoyed singing about Beulah Land. And someday after a while, we'll go to Beulah Land. I bet I got Beulah Land a while back. And when I give my heart to Jesus, I begin to taste of beautiful land. I begin to see beautiful land. I begin to hear beautiful land. Dear ones, I want you to know that if you'll allow yourself to renew your covenant through Christ Jesus tonight, you can get a taste of beautiful land. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And it's all because of, as we said last night, there's power in the Holy Ghost. Isn't that good? Oh, that's good. Aren't you glad there's power in the Holy Ghost? Amen. Aren't you glad that the third person of God Himself, the Holy Ghost, come to live in you? God Himself. Isn't that good? Oh, thank you. You say, how come you're saying it's good? Because the Bible says God's good. Yeah. The Bible says God's good several times. It's woven, threaded throughout the Scripture. Amen. Psalm 119:68. God is good. Say, God is good. Amen. And you know, we have a lot of fun in the house of God. We say God is good all the time. Keep doing it. It's awesome. Amen. But I want you to know it's not just some kind of a lingo that we thought up. The Bible says God is good. And doeth good. And there's that tension. Well, then why is there pain in the world? There's pain in the world because of sin. There's pain in the world because of sin. It's not God's fault. It's our choosing. But I'm glad that I have a merciful, compassionate God. Amen. How about you tonight? Would you like to be renewed in the Holy Ghost? Would you like for your life to be renewed in Christ so much that it was just like it was at the first? Man, the grass was green, the hill was on the other side, and the sky was blue. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And your wife said, honey, I love you, and you didn't even think about it. Amen, because you just knew it. You didn't wonder about what you was going to have to do. Oh, come on, guys. Am I preaching here? Hey, praise God. Are you glad you're saved tonight? So I say as I said at the beginning, do you need to renew your covenant in the Lord? I would venture to say that everyone in here does. Amen? So, Pastor, I want you to come and give an invitation. Because I think it's still the right thing to pray on the altar of God. I still think it's the right thing to give an altar call in the household of faith and for people to have the opportunity to respond. You say, well, Pastor, can I pray just as well as I can back here as I can up here? The answer is yes. But it was mentioned last night, there's something special about the assembly of prayer.